ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ
ॐ मे ब्रह्मन् प्रोटेक्ट अस बोथ। May Brahman bestow upon us both the fruit of knowledge. May we both obtain the energy to acquire knowledge. May what we both study reveal the truth. May we cherish no ill feeling toward each other. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all.
In our last class, we came up to the realization of Bhrigu. Bhrigu understood the direction given by his guru or father, Varuna. Find out what is the ultimate cause, not proximate cause. From where do everything in this world come? And who is the very first cause of this entire creation? And who is it that sustains? And unto whom does everything go back? And that final cause is one without a second, eternal. Find out means realize and do not stop. Uttishtata, jagrata, prapyavaran nibodhata. Arise, awake, stop not till the goal is reached. And the same fact in our mythologies, Puranas, they have their own symbolic, allegorical language wherein it is said Brahma is the creator, Vishnu is the sustainer, and Shiva is the being who takes us back into the causeless cause. And that is why Kashi is considered as the most holy place, because everywhere Shiva gives a new opportunity, a new birth for us to progress. Every day is a new birth. Every second is a new year in that sense, because what happened in the past, we cannot undo it. But what I can do, what we can do during this present moment, that is a new year. So let us discuss some important points here. So one of the things I promised in my last class was, why is Kashi such a wonderful place? So it is said that those who have practiced tremendous austerities in several lives, ultimately, they have to come to Kashi, or they have to establish Kashi in their own hearts. Wherever Shiva is established, with the firm desire, I do not wish to come back. I wish to have liberation, mukti. So for them, the heart itself becomes the Kashi. But it is also a fact, and supported by statements of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swamiji and innumerable people, that those who are fortunate will give up their body in Kashi. One important doubt might come here. When we look at the lives of people here living in Kashi, and many of them are likely to die here, they do not seem to be particularly desirous of mukti. But we have to understand, God's grace is unconditional, first. Second, we do not know what type of punyam or merit these people have acquired in the past births. But Kashi is a very special place. So let us pray. Either we die in Kashi or we establish Lord Shiva in Kashi, in our own hearts. So our own heart becomes like Vrindavan. Talatal patal khunchile abhire prem ratnadhan. So just as a Vaishnava, through contemplation of Radhan Krishna, makes one's own heart as Vrindavana, one can also make the same as Kashi. So now, continuing, Bhrigu had come to the, must have come to the Annamaya Kosha and must have realized even this Annamaya Kosha, there are differences. How do we know? The mantra itself gives the hints. So there are three types of degrees of happiness is there. Priya, Moda, Pramoda. But one has to go beyond all limitations. However high the limitation, that is not the final destination. Anything that limits is not a destination. It is the pathway. That is why we have seen in this very Taittiriya Upanishad, the very definition of Brahman, Satyam, that means there would be no change in Satyam. Pure existence, pure consciousness, pure bliss. And that pure bliss is called Anantam, infinity. So truth, pure consciousness and infinity. And nobody would say that there is something beyond the infinite. So there are some peculiar names are there. One sannyasi is named as Turiyatitananda. We know Ramakrishna's disciple Swami Turiyananda. But somebody has gone beyond him. Turiya Atita Ananda. There is some Ananda which is even beyond Turiya. Anyway, any number of Atitas we can add. It makes no difference. You add anything to infinity, it remains as infinity. So, we are in the sixth Anuvaka. Bhrigu understood through tapasya the teachings of his guru who taught through his own realization, personal realization, that Aham Brahmasmi, I am everything, Ekam Sadeva Somya. There is only Sat. There is no Ekam Eva Dvitiyam. No second. The teacher understood. Teacher understood and taught. Teacher understood and taught. Bhrigu, through the process of Neti Neti. I did not emphasize that word Neti Neti because we have to start from where we are standing. Where are we standing? We are standing completely identified with the body. So, very positive method. Neti Neti is a very positive method. How is it? Sri Ramakrishna had illustrated it. One midnight, a servant needed to wake up his master. So, he entered into the room and it was pitch dark. So, he went on touching various things. Probably, he never entered the room before. So, he did not know where the bed was. But he knew the master is here. So, went on touching various things and he had the very positive realization, this is not my master. This is not my master. So, that neti neti, not this, is a very positive method. And we all use it if you are searching for something and you look into the box, into the drawer of a table, etc. No, it's not here. It's not here. That means it is somewhere. So, ultimately that neti neti has to lead to iti iti. And so the servant at last touches the bed and says, I am very near to the master. And then he touches the master. Iti, this is the master. So like that, this neti neti means it is not a negative way, it is a highly positive way. So Bhrigu had understood that in order to progress through this path of neti neti, annamaya kosha na iti, pranamaya same, manomaya same, vijnanamaya same, anandamaya no, this is also not Brahman. Why? Because there are degrees of experience, priya. When we are thinking of past experience, something is very dear to me. It could be an object or it could be living. It could be non-living, it doesn't matter. So when we think, how do we know that what is dear to us, that which gives us happiness, we know that this is dear to us. Then when we obtain, we are in the presence, we are directly seeing that object very near to us, through the eyes, through the ears, etc., just as a child hears the voice of the mother very near, a frightened child, immediately he starts smiling. My mother is here. I have nothing to worry. So that is called moda. When the person experiences it, it is called pramoda. But we have to cognize that the person, that experience, when that experience is over, then he is separated from that unity. Then again he has to start. How can I get that one? Priya. Then he obtains it. So moda. Then he becomes one with it. That is called pramoda. So these three degrees, one after the other, and we cannot eliminate any of these three, they are varying. So that which varies in degrees, differences, that cannot be the final Brahman. In the ocean of Brahman, there is neither rise nor fall. This idea has been so beautifully expressed by Swamiji in his talks on, in his poem, Samadhi, called that name of the poem itself is called Samadhi. So even that aham, it has become subsided, and what remains? Bhujhe pran, bhujhe jar. Whoever has experienced, he only knows it. Others cannot even guess. We can guess something in duality, but we cannot guess what is non-duality. The nearest analogy is our experience of deep sleep, which unfortunately we have to express nakinchit avedisham. I do not know anything. I experienced. That means I do not know means not that I did not experience. I cannot express it. In fact, nothing, no experience can be described accurately 100%. One always gives a comparative degree and say, how is this sweet? Well, you have experienced the other sweet, but this is much better in comparative taste. That is how, through only experience, through one experience, through one's own experience, anybody can convey to us what he is hinting at, but it remains a guesswork. That's why Sri Ramakrishna's teachings are so precious. He says, even one grain of sugar, you heard about it, you do not have correct knowledge. And somebody brings and puts it in your palm, there is knowledge, but it has no resemblance to what actually it is. When you touch one grain of sugar to your tongue, then that is experience. And now you know 100% how sugar tastes. So this is anandam. So Bhrigu understood anandam brahmeti vyajanat. This is the sixth section in this Bhriguvalli, or sixth chapter you can say. Anando brahmeti vyajanat, ananda dhyeva khalvimani bhutani jayante, anandena jatani jivanti, anandam prayanti avisamvishanti iti, saisha bhargavi varuni vidya, parame vyoman pratishthita, saya evam veda pratitishthati, annavan annado bhavati, mahan bhavati, prajaya pashubhi brahmavarchasena, mahan kirtya. So this particular mantra can be divided into three parts. First part is the answer. Bhrigu experienced. From where the entire creation is coming? From ananda. Not anandamaya kosha. Ananda. And ananda and Brahman. Ananda and Atma. Ananda and I. They are one and the same. Aham Brahmasmi. Aham Atma Asmi. Aham Anandaha Asmi. I am Sachidananda. Three in one in three. So that is the first part. Then the Upanishad, the real teachings of the Upanishads come to an end. And then the teacher says, Sa Esha Bhargavi Varuni Vidya. This particular teaching of the Upanishad, in this third chapter, it is called Bhargavi because Bhrigu had been taught, and Bhrigu certifies I realized it, and it was taught by Varuna. Since it is taught by Varuna, it is called Varuni. And since it is proven, like a student of science, following the professor's instructions, he experiments, everything absolutely 100% gets the same result. So therefore, this is a certified Vidya. That's why it is called Bhargavi. Bhargavi means Bhrigu's proof of what the Vidya, what was promised to him by the teacher, and he experienced it. That's why it is called Bhargavi Vidya, Varuni Vidya. And then, what does this Vidya give us? It is there, potentially, in everybody. Parame Vyoman Pratishtita. Parama means supreme. Vyoma means space. It is there, continuously shining in the heart of everybody, in this body called Brahmapuri. And sa yaha evam veda, just like Bhrigu, if anybody knows that I am not the any of these panchakoshas, but I am that Parabrahma, shining in the form of this Paramavyomana, the highest, the greatest Akasha. It is called Chidakasha. Beautiful songs are there in Kathamruta, Chidakasha. Chit, pure consciousness. That is called here, Paramaya Vyomni, Pratishthita. So this person, having given up identity with the Panchakoshas, has become firmly identified with that Parama Vyoman, which is another name for Brahman. And Saya Evam Veda Pratishthita. Whoever, not only Bhrigu, Bhrigu's father, or millions of realized souls. In future also, so many people are going to realize it. And what happens? They also certify, Aham Brahmasmi. You ask them, who are you? I am Brahman. That's all. They may not say it, but that's what they mean. And what is the result? Again, as we discussed many times in the Taittiriya and as well as in Chandogya, if a person, there are what is called householders. There are monks, sannyasis, sannyasinis. That is one. But here also, another type, there are some people who have not realized it, but who are sincerely striving. They will get so many results. So, annavan annado bhavati. So, he becomes endowed. Anybody who, not only he who realized it, actually, we have to understand, a person who knows I am Brahman, there is no place for any desire. Because desire means lack of ananda. But here is a person who has become ananda swarupa. So he cannot have any desires. Neither a realized person will have any desire. But what we are talking about is, suppose there is a jivan mukta. Everything that is necessary will be supplied. That is what in Bhagavad Gita we get, yoga kshemam vahamyaham. If somebody totally relies upon me, like a child relies upon the mother unconsciously, that is a very important point we have to understand. We the grown-ups, when we hear these words, you must be like a child. Our understanding more or less will be like a grown-up person's understanding. I have a mother, and I pray, I rely upon her, total dependence upon the Divine Mother. But look at a child. Does the child think that I am a child and I am helpless, somebody needs to take care of me, and my mother is there to take care of me? I don't think. The child simply cries, and wherever the mother is, comes running. So we have to understand that a person totally relies, even by mistake, the thought, I have to depend upon mother, doesn't arise in such a person. He becomes so totally identified, I am the child of the mother. So that is one type of person, jivan muktas, everything happens. Naturally, the doubt comes. Then, is the life of a jivan mukta full of so-called happiness only? Not necessary. The mother makes that person an instrument আমি যন্ত্র, তুমি যন্ত্রী, আমি রথ, তুমি রথী, আমি ঘর, তুমি ঘরণী, আই এম দি হাউস, ইউ আর দি রানার অফ দি হাউস, আই এম দি মেশিন, ইউ আর দি মেকানিক, সো দিস পার্সন, আই এম এ চ্যারিয়েট, ইউ আর দি চ্যারিয়েটিয়ার, সো ফ্রম আওয়ার ভিউ পয়েন্ট দি জীবন মুক্তাস বডি মাইন্ড ক্যান আন্ডার গো সাম আনডিজাইরেবল এক্সপিরিয়েন্সেস, বট ইফ ইউ আস্ক দি জীবন মুক্তা হিমসেলফ, আস্ক শ্রী রামকৃষ্ণ, আস্ক রমণ মহর্ষি, দে নো, বট হোয়াট দে আনসার উই ক্যানট আন্ডারস্ট্যান্ড, উই ক্যান নেভার আন্ডারস্ট্যান্ড আনলেস উই বিকম লাইক দেম, বট দের আর সন্ন্যাসিনস, দে উইল বি প্রোভাইডেড উইথ, বট দের উইল বি হাউস হোল্ডার্স, গুরুকুলাস, লাইক দি অরুণ, অ্যান্ড হি মাস্ট বি মেইনটেইনিং এ গুরুকুল, দেরফর অন্নবান, সো হি উইল বি এন্ডাউড উইথ হোয়াট এভার ইজ নেসেসারি, হাউ এভার মচ নেসেসারি, নট ওনলি দ্যাট, হি গেটস এভরিথিং দ্যাট ইজ নেসেসারি, অ্যান্ড অ্যাজ উই সি ইন দিস ওয়ার্ল্ড, দের আর সো মেনি পিপল, মে বি রিচ পিপল, দে কান ডাইজেস্ট ইভেন দি স্মলেস্ট থিং, ইভেন বয়ল্ড ভেজিটেবলস, ইভেন বয়ল্ড ওয়াটার, বট দিস পার্সন, হি উইল বি এন্ডাউড উইথ দ্যাট ক্যাপাসিটি টু এনজয়, অন্নবান মিন্স হি উইল বি সাপ্লাইড উইথ প্লেন্টি অফ থিংস, অ্যান্ড এস্পেশালি ইফ দি পার্সন ইজ running a huge institute called Gurukula. And not only that, not having things is not enough. The capacity to become fully enjoyable capacity, that also will be provided. This is the result. Mahan Bhavati, he becomes a great person. And then if he is a householder, Prajaya, he will be given good children. But it depends totally upon the Divine Mother. Praja means children, but Praja also means not necessarily children, but good disciples and animals, Pashubihi. In those days, cows, etc. were called Godhanam. Wealth is these cows, because they need plenty of milk, butter, buttermilk, curds, etc. for Homa purposes, for etc. So, Brahma Varchasena. Because there are people who realize it like Varuna. So, here another question that can come. Can a person who is a realized soul, can he produce children? Yes, they can. Because producing children or not is not important point. Important thing is whether they have desires, unfulfilled desires. No, they just discharge their duties. There are so many stories like that we get. Kapila, Devahuti Samvada, conversation in the Bhagavatam we get. So, Kapila's father was such a soul. He resolved, I will not marry. But divine commandment has come. You will have to marry and just to fulfill the desire of your wife, because a great soul, Bhagavan himself is going to incarnate himself through that. So he will be given children, but just like that farmer who woke up from the dream and found his own son dead, he says everything is a dream, that is a real experience of these people. So this person will be endowed with everything that is needed, yoga kshema bahamyaham. Why? Because that person's face will be shining, Brahma Varchas. That's why so many photographs are painted with halos round their heads. That is to indicate that their knowledge is spiritual knowledge. And Mahan Kirtiya, they become great people, well-known people, not necessarily always. There are so many Jivan Muktas in this world, nobody knows about them. It is believed in Kashi that there are living, realized souls, but very difficult. So, Kirti means great name and fame, not necessarily Mahan Kirtiya. So, Bhrigu realized that bliss is Brahman, not Priya, Moda, Pramoda, and from bliss, verily are these beings born. The whole creation comes out of bliss, because God wants to play with himself. Play is always bliss. if you are playing and not blissful, that is not a play, that is life and death situation. Anything that you play with joy, so winning and losing, if you are focused upon that, that is not a play, that is a game of life and death. But whether I win or lose, sometimes I win, sometimes you win, sometimes I lose, sometimes you lose, sometimes or many, every time I may lose, but I am not worried about it. Swami Vivekananda expresses this so beautifully. Who enjoys a great painting, neither the seller nor the buyer, but the person who has no intention of either buying or selling, but just for the sake of enjoyment. So, Bhrigu realized, the whole creation has come out of bliss. Then doubt comes. If everything has come out of bliss, if the cause is bliss, then the effect also must be bliss. That is to say, in Leela, this is beautifully expressed in Vaishnava Padavali. So there are only two themes in this Vaishnava poetry. That is, sometimes Radha and Krishna, they're separated and they love each other. They want to be united together. But that separation is a willing separation, conscious separation, to enjoy the union all the more. So that viraha, that tremendous longing, that is also part of the Leela. And then Radha Krishna, Sanyoga will be there, Milan will be there, unity will be there. So even that separation we have to understand is only to enjoy the thing all the more. That's why every sukha that we experience has got this separation and union. When we are separated, for example, from food, then we become hungry. That is called separation. When we are united with food and the joy, to the greater the separation, the greater will be the joy. We discussed this point many times. The more hungry we are, the more enjoyment will be there. So what we see, this birth and death, they're all nothing but a divine play of both these elements, separation as well as union. Only a Jivan Mukta can understand it truly all the time. So Bhrigu understood that because of that bliss, the entire creation has come out. And then the entire creation lives only because of expectation of bliss. That's why Rasaggo Heva Yam Labdhva Anandi Bhavati Kohyanyat Kah Pranyat. In the Taittiriya itself we have seen, who can live if a person thinks that I am never going to be happy? Even one moment separation from bliss itself is a death throw. So we live in the hope of experiencing that bliss. And in the end, and end means what? If this birth ends in death, we have learned some lessons, we progressed in life, and we move further. That's what we need to understand. So ultimately a time will come, and then do not count to time. Just as we cannot count to time in deep sleep, it is nothing but bliss. It is for the sake of bliss. Brahman manifests for his own bliss. Brahman, as it were, lives for his own bliss. Brahman again re-enters into himself, this Leela, Nitya and Leela. And that is a wonderful thing. It is difficult to understand what it is, because our limited intellect cannot give us that happiness. So this is what Bhrigu realized. And simply put, I am Ananda Swarupa, Sachidananda Swarupa, I am Atman, I am Brahman. So that is what he understood. Finally, that I myself have become this creation, I manifest as the creation, and I continue this play, and again I take it back like a spider throws out the threads, keeps for some time, and withdraws. So this was the realization of Bhrigu. This is the wisdom taught by Varuna and learnt by Bhrigu. It is established in the supreme Akasha, in the heart. Parameva Vyoman. And anyone who knows this, whether it was in the past, present or future, any country, any religion, any culture will be established in his own nature, which is the bliss of Brahman. So that is the essence of this sixth Anuvaka we have seen. And we also have said this knowledge, the process how this knowledge is called Neti Neti. That means first Iti Iti. I am sacred. My body is sacred. My mind is sacred. Everybody's body is sacred. Everybody's mind is sacred. And the whole universe is my body. Virat. I am Virat. As soon as he understands I am Virat, another story opens in front of him. His vision beholds something. Something means the cause. And then he says, oh, that is even greater bliss. So he will be experiencing the bliss of Virat. And then he sees there is a higher bliss. This is a limited bliss. There is a subtler, more pervading bliss. He moves on to the next kosha. So from kosha to kosha, ever expanding, ever subtler and more blissful, until he even transcends even Anandamaya kosha. So this knowledge is the final realization. I am Brahman. Then what does he realize? Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishitam. So, Kaivalya Upanishad. Everything is born in me and everything is established in me. There is nothing separate from me. Mayi sarvam layam yati. Everything comes back unto me. Tad Brahma advayam asmi aham. I am that satyam jnanam anantam Brahma. As we discussed, Varuna taught, so it is called Varuni Vidya, and Bhrigu realized. That's why anybody who follows Bhrigu in the same footsteps, same way, so that is called Bhargavi Vidya. And anybody who follows the same footsteps, like a scientific experiment, he attains to the highest. Thereafter, there would be no limitation for him. So, what happens to a person who has not realized I am Brahman, but he is progressing progressively, so he obtains abundant food. Food means enjoyable things. Whatever a person desires, he will get it. Because he understands, I am that. But what is the use of having things if the person cannot enjoy? So the capacity to enjoy, and as one commentator puts it, abundant food, tasty food, plenty of food, but his digestive fire, Vaishvanara Agni, also blazes forth. So he can digest everything. That means he is capable of not only obtaining, but enjoying also. And if he is a grihastha, he gets good children, or he gets good disciples, and sometimes disciples are more precious than even one's own children. He will be endowed with everything. Yoga kshemam vahamiham. That half a sentence, it proves everything. How does one realize? Of course, everybody will not realize. So many times, people mistook Ramana Maharshi, Sri Ramakrishna, Swami Vivekananda, but he will be endowed with Brahma Varchas and Mahan Kirtiya. Sooner or later, he becomes greatly renowned. So, with this, the process of discriminating between the five shades, Panchakosha Viveka Prakriya is complete. Now, how to follow Bhrigu? And that statement is to be elaborated. What did Bhrigu do? He did tapasya. What did he do? What do we mean by he did tapasya? Intense austerity. That means he has been practicing all the sadhana. Sadhana karana chahiye manava, bhajan karana chahiye. So now from the seventh section in this third chapter until the tenth section, certain upasanas, contemplations, and there all of them can be called as karma yoga. What is karma yoga? transforming our action into a positive, helpful, spiritual discipline is called Karma Yoga. Karma means action. Every action that we do, whether it is breathing, sitting, lying down, eating, walking, nothing is excepted. Everything is included. So everything that we do is transformed into the highest spiritual practice. This is called by Brother Lawrence, the practice of the presence of God. So now from the now onwards, there are certain upasanas are included. Remember, upasana means slowly developing a spiritual attitude towards everything, every action, whether it is a physical action or mental action. There is nothing called separated from physical or mental. There is nothing called a spiritual action. All spiritual actions are nothing but pure contemplations only. When we are doing something with the body, that is what we call physical action. When we are thinking, because most of us, most of the time, first we think, I want to go there, I want to hold on, I want to reach that place, etc., in the form of thoughts. So, how to regulate our life? That is called upasana. That is called karma yoga. What does karma yoga do? It transforms even the action, even as innocent as breathing in and breathing out. Apana and prana. Apana means breathing in. Prana means breathing out. Every action, and in Bhagavad Gita also we have seen, so whether sitting, lying, sleeping, walking, or breathing in, breathing out, every action that was done, is done, will be done, can be transformed into a yoga. That is why yoga means that which transforms every action into a divine or keeps us united with God. That is called yoga. If it is through action, it is called karma. If it is through emotion, it is called devotion. If it is through concentration, it is called Raja Yoga. If it is through deep intellectual thinking, that is called Jnana Yoga. So what is most important, here the word is used is food. And by food we have to understand not only physical food, but also mental food. But for a beginner, a seeker has to pay attention to the way he lives. And most of the sadhakas, willy-nilly, they are householders. Don't think that only a married person is a householder. Anybody who thinks I am a body is a householder, because this body is the house. So there are four vratas. What is a vrata? A vow. I vow before God, I would try to follow. That is to say, I would like to spiritualize four of my actions. So, first thing is annam. Annam means what? This body. The body has come out of food. Bhartis means food in a particular form. And our whole life, our whole body is nothing but food. And food goes into food only after death. So, dust unto death. Not only that. Even while living also, this very body becomes food. For example, we become food for the mosquito, for the flies, for the bacteria, for good or bad bacteria. And food means what? Enjoyment. And enjoyment means that, first let me give an example. Suppose a young man looks at a young woman. The young man becomes the enjoyer. And the young woman becomes the enjoyed. That is from the young man's point of view. But from the other's point of view, the young woman becomes the enjoyed experiencer and the young man becomes the experienced. Anna. So, Anna means what? Experience. So, the whole universe, creation, is divided into two. What is the relationship? Anna and Annada. Anna means the object of enjoyment. Annada means the enjoyer. Annada is the subject, Anna is the object. So the whole universe is divided as Anna and Annada. So two types of relationships are indicated here for us to acquire a holistic attitude. What is that holistic attitude? Everything is related to everything in this world is first point. Everything is dependent upon everything else is the second point. Everything, if it is separated from this relationship, cannot survive alone is the third point. This is how slowly we acquire our identity with everything. Even in the people who do not believe in God, even for them also, this is very important relationship. So first is what? Subject-object relationship. Enjoyer-enjoyed. And the Upanishad wants to tell us that everything is an enjoyer and everything is also the enjoyed. And depend based upon this, the second type of relationship, even more subtle. One is the support and another is the supported. Supporter-supported relationship. For example, that I have to, when I am a child, I am dependent upon my parents. They are the supporters. I am the supported. They are the food. I am the eater of the food. But when I grow up, when my parents become old, then I become the supporter and they become the supported. Not only that, when I get married, I become the supporter. When I am a child, I become the supported. When I grow up and have my own children, I become the supporter. So everything in this world, husband and wife, parents and children, enemies, even enemies, everything can be divided as the supporter and supported, as the subject and the object, enjoyer and enjoyed. And to put it simply, if somebody thinks, I am a subject, but there is no object. Because if there is no object, there would be no subject. If there is no subject, there would be no object. Either both exist together or they disappear together. In this world, this is called holistic attitude. And this is a marvelous attitude helping us that I am also supported. I am also supporter. Therefore, what is my relationship with the entire creation? I am both the enjoyer and enjoyed. I am both the supporter and supported. This is called holistic attitude. Slowly, scientists are opening their eyes to this truth. We thought nature was dumb and we can do whatever we like. So we can cut down forests and burn forests, turn them into what is called food production factories. Now we understand that everything in this world is both the supporter and supported. If tremendous deforestation takes place, then the whole nature becomes poison, pure poison. And that is what people nowadays call environmental pollution. And the whole, we have created this almost destructive environmental pollution. And some of the thoughtless, selfish politicians don't want to accept it. So the Upanishad is opening our eyes. Bhagavan becomes both the enjoyer and enjoyed, supporter and supported. For that, the best example would be dream. So I will discuss in the next class. What is this dream example? In the light of this supporter and supported, subject and object relationships, then we can go through these upasanas. Upasana means that which takes us nearer to our true nature and how these specific upasanas that are outlined in this Upanishad from the 7th until the 10th, 5 sections, how without them, we cannot progress in spiritual life. And that is how Hinduism teaches, how Sri Ramakrishna interpreted, These are some of the subjects, points we will discuss in our next class. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sasitva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.